Turn in your Bible to the 9th chapter of St. Mark, please. I'd like to talk to you today about faith. Faith is the key to receiving from God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to receive from God. Without faith, it's impossible to be born again into the family of God, even. Jesus made a statement in Mark 9:23 unto a man, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Now, I'm not certain about you because I don't live with you 24 hours a day, but I know concerning myself that it'd do me good just to hear that a lot. Because it seems that circumstances and conditions and situations, things in the world, proclaim a different message continually. They do to me, and I suppose they do to you too. You can't do it. It's impossible. That'll never happen. There's no way. But Jesus just opened his mouth and just said flat out for all the world to hear, "All things are possible to him that believeth." Now, Vincent in his word studies says on comment on this, he says there's a play upon words here in this verse. See, in the Greek, we don't really pick that up in the English. He says there's a play upon the words "canst" and "possible." He said it can't be neatly rendered, but in other words, it's something like this: if thou canst, all things can be. In other words, if you can, things can. If you can't believe, then things can be. In other words, you're the pivotal point. You're the deciding factor. It's up to you, in other words. In other words, you're in control and not things. You're in control and not circumstances in your life. You see, you're created by God to reign, to dominate. Not to dominate God, but to dominate circumstances, to dominate in your life. That's what Romans 5:17 tells us. Oh, that's a tremendous verse. I remember Brother Kenneth Hagin saying, this has been some years back, saying that he hadn't had the nerve to preach on that verse very much until, you know, just lately. This has been some years back. Because it says that they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And the word "reign" there means to reign as a king. And so the Amplified amplifies that meaning and translates it that way. Shall reign as kings in life. Well, you and I are created by God to reign as a king, to dominate. Now, some people might get the wrong idea. They might think. Some husbands, for instance, might get the idea, "Yeah, I'm supposed to rule the roost around here and try to start dominating their wife in the wrong manner." It kind of reminds me of I think this is a story out of my wife's family. She likes me using her as an illustration. But anyway, in case y'all didn't know it, my wife was the youngest in her family. Now, well, as I remember it, well, she said something sometime when she was little about something. Maybe this was somebody else, and I just got it mixed up with my wife. No, anyway, is it, you know, the old, her her older brother, you know, would boss over her older sister, and her older sister would boss over her, and, you know, she didn't have anybody to boss over. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. Well, if you're the older brother or sister, you know, you dominate. If you're the husband, you dominate. That's not what it means. To reign as a king in life does mean you dominate, but what king are we supposed to follow after? Who's our example? Jesus is. He said in John 13th chapter that He gave us an example that we should do as He did. And Jesus absolutely walked as a master in life. He dominated things. I mean, people would try to kill Him, and it didn't affect Him one bit. He just walked through their midst. I mean, nobody even gave Him a black eye, not one scratch on Him until He allowed it. Nobody could kill Him. He said, nobody can take my life from me. He said, I lay it down on myself. You talk about in control, Jesus was. And yet, even though He was absolutely in control, everything He did, everything He said, He got from the Father. And He was doing it in obedience to the Father. So we're to reign as a king exactly like Jesus did in His earth walk. A storm comes up, well, that shouldn't stop us from going to the other side. Demons try to mess with people around us. Demons can't stand in our way. Money problems come up, no problem. There's a way, even if you have to get it out of a fish's mouth, there's some way. Jesus was in control. He dominated things. See, the pivotal point is the human, because God created the human to rule over the things. And Jesus said, if you can, the things can, because the things are created to serve you. Things are created to serve you. Did you know that first what is it? Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 tells us. Now it says, it's given instructions to tell rich people what to do. People that are rich in this world. Tells them not to be high-minded, not to be proud, not to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think. But it's not to trust in uncertain riches, but to trust but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. I'm kind of like Mark Hinkins, I guess. He said something about, you know, this is my favorite verse. And he says, really, you know, it's every verse is just a favorite, is what he's saying. And I have a lot of favorite verses, but I think maybe that's my favorite right now. God, the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. I don't think that it's that I'm such a selfish person, or that I was so super deprived in my childhood and now I'm just swinging the other way or something. Not at all. Not at all. But that just thrills me, because I think mainly for the reason that traditionally Christian belief has been, well, God, you can't have anything very much if you're going to be godly. If you're going to be spiritual, you're going to be poor and really suffer. And that just thrills me for that reason, because it says He's the living God that gives in abundance, gives in great measure, gives richly. What does richly mean? If it doesn't mean a bunch, if it doesn't mean an abundance. All things to enjoy. Hallelujah. Things were made by God for your enjoyment. Oh, that just punches holes by the dozen in tradition. One tradition, and some of you may hold this one, so get ready to get your toes stepped on. Most of you don't, but so many people, say, well, God has promised to meet our needs, but He never said anything about giving us our wants. He never said anything about giving us what we desire. That is a cop-out for going along in life, taking the path of least resistance, sitting in your easy chair in front of the TV and saying, well, what will be if it never is, and I guess this is just God's will for me and my lot in life, and I might as well just sit here and just kind of wait for Jesus to come back. That's a cop-out. Jesus didn't say, sit around and wait for me to come back. That punches holes. That verse punches holes in that kind of an idea. Well, God promised to meet our needs, but He never said He'd give us what we want. He said that He is the living God that gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now, there's some people, a lot of people, that need to hear that. Then there's people, on the other hand, that need to hear other scriptures in there, like, a man's life consisteth not in abundance of his possessions. Have you ever thought about this, that the Bible, that there's one Bible? God wrote only one Bible. Even though we offer many translations, there's only one Bible. And that is God's message to mankind, right? It's written to Adolf Hitler as well as to Billy Graham. Now just think, if you were going to write a letter to Billy Graham and you were going to write a letter to somebody like Adolf Hitler, would you say the same thing to him? If you were God? Well, probably not. The point of it is that the Bible has to speak to many different people in many different situations, and it's all true, but it's true in their situation. In other words, for an example, for an illustration, it's not true for us today that if we don't cut the neck off of a heifer, If there's somebody killed in our city and we don't know who did it, we don't have to take a heifer and take her outside into a valley where it's not cultivated, cut her head off and say, we're free from the blood of this man. We don't have to do that like they did under the Old Testament, because we're under a new covenant and Jesus has died and so forth. Well, see, we better get off of that, because that's not the right thing to be on for very long. Most Christians need to hear that God is not against things. But there's probably a few people that are greedy and selfish, and they need to have a different message proclaimed to them. But for the most part, I don't think Christians are greedy and selfish. I think that that is just what the devil has tried to beat us over the head with so we wouldn't believe for any prosperity. He's tried to make us wonder and worry, oh, am I being selfish? Oh, if I meditate on these prosperity scriptures, well, do I have wrong motives? Oh, the devil is a big stickler on motives, not on his own. He's just a big, big one to yap loud and long about. You have the wrong motives. You have the wrong motives. Or anything to get you to quit acting on the Word of God. The devil is a deceiver, that's all. He doesn't have any power to control you. He just tried to deceive you. And if he can deceive you into not believing and acting on God's Word, then he's defeated you. And if he can make you think, oh, your motives are wrong, well, we should have good motives. We know that. We should have the right motivation in doing things. We know that. And the devil knows we know that. That's why he'll use that on us successfully sometimes. Just like we know that we should read the Bible. We know that we should pray. We know that we should witness and share our faith. We know that we should do things that promote the kingdom of God. We know that, don't we? And so, now, I'm trusting that you're all very mature to be able to understand this. So, it is possible for the devil to so push a person in those things to where that he neglects his family or neglects his physical body and just, you know, has a maybe a complete nervous breakdown or has a complete marriage and family breakdown, divorce and so forth. See what I'm saying? It's possible, but let me say it this way. If the devil can't keep us from doing good, sometimes he'll try to push us to the other extreme to any way he can destroy us. Any way he can, it can cause trouble for us, he'll do it. Can you understand that? Now, that's not the case with most of you, with most people. Well, maybe as it relates to other things, maybe some of you husbands might think, well, I've got to make this money and I've got these payments and I've got to support my family, and so you're working three jobs and you don't ever see your wife or your family. Well, that's doing something good and being pushed too far. See what I'm saying? You can't push these things too far. Even good things pushed too far can become not so good. Just like the family, I wouldn't have minded if they'd have tried this on me. Never happened, but I did hear about a family that the kids, they wanted to eat ice cream. So the parents said, okay, you can eat ice cream all day, all the ice cream you want. Well, this is a true story. Some of you may have read it. It was in a popular best-selling book. As I recall, by about lunchtime, they were begging for just a piece of bread or anything solid, you know. They loved ice cream, but after nothing else but ice cream for a while, they were ready for something else. Well, prosperity is the same way. There's boundaries and there's a right way to see it, but most of the church has not even, I mean, we've just thrown it out. We haven't even considered it. We hadn't tried to keep the right kind of balance. We just, you know, well, as long as you're poor, that's balance. Well, that's not it. Things. The reason I got on prosperity was I was talking about things. And the reason I was talking about things is because I was talking about faith. And faith has to do with things. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hebrews 11:1 tells us. Things. The prayer of faith concerns things. Things will change. And Jesus said here, all things are possible if thou canst believe. If thou canst believe, all things can be. In other words, let me read some other translations of that. Barclay said, everything is possible for the man who has faith. And just in case some of you ladies thought, oh, well, that leaves me out, you can buy you a Today's English Version. It says everything is possible for the person who has faith. I just threw that in. When it says man, it's talking in a generic sense, not talking about what sex you are. All things are possible. Everything is possible for the person who has faith. New International Version says everything is possible for him who believes. Now, did you catch that difference there? The one says for the person who has faith. New International Version says everything is possible for him who believes. New English Bible, again, everything is possible to one who has faith. Do you see how some translations put it for one who believes, and some translations translate it for one who has faith? Now, you might wonder about that, but have you ever heard of the word? I'm not going to pronounce it. I'll just spell it to you. The Greek word, P-I-S-T-E-U-O. This is the word for believe. The same word, but the noun form of it, P-I-S-T-I-S, is faith. In other words, they're the same word, just another form of the word. Different forms, but it's the same word. It has a different form, though. Just like bathe is a verb, bath is a noun. But you're talking about the same thing, right? Soap and water. Well, the word in the Greek that's translated believe is a verb. The word in the Greek that's translated faith is a noun, but they're the same word. In the Greek, it's the same word, just a different form of it. One a verb, one a noun. Now, of this verb form, W.E. Vine says it means to believe, also to be persuaded of, and hence to place confidence in. To trust signifies, in the sense of the word, reliance upon, not mere credence. The Amplified always. Is anybody carrying an Amplified right now? Amplified translation? You tell me if I'm wrong, sister. But the Amplified always, whenever it uses the word believes, it amplifies it and goes on to say, trust in, relies upon. You see, the English word believe, we can throw that word around very lightly. But it has a deeper meaning than just, oh yeah, I place credence in that fact. It's reliance upon. Placing our confidence in. Standing on. See? Bullinger says of that word, it means be persuaded, to rely upon, to trust. A fully convinced acknowledgement, a fully assured and unswerving confidence. Not just saying, oh yeah, I believe, but it's reliance upon, placing your confidence, placing your life in. And that's why it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That doesn't mean, oh yeah, I believe Jesus lived. Yeah, I believe that. That's not what it means at all. It means put your confidence in Jesus. Trust in Him. Rely upon Him. In other words, that involves the meaning of obey Him. Listen to what He said and follow it. I couldn't say to you without you laughing at me, oh yeah, I have great confidence in Mr. Scott. I have great reliance on him, but you can't believe a thing he says. You think that's crazy. What are you talking about? That's a contradiction in terms. I agree. That's exactly what a person says by their life. Oh yeah, I believe on the Lord Jesus, but I never act on what he says. I believe in him though. No, you don't believe in him. Because to believe means to rely upon. And you're not relying on him, but relying on yourself if you don't follow his directions. You see that? If you're relying upon him, then you follow his directions. If I was out in the wilderness with some guide and I radioed back to my wife at base camp and said, well, I don't know where we are, but I'm relying on Joe the guide here because he knows how to get out of these woods. What would that mean for me to say I rely on him to get me back to camp and have supper ready? What would that mean? That would mean that I'm going to follow him, follow his instructions. If he said go west, if I knew which way west was, I'd go west. If he said follow me, if he said do what I do, follow me, walk behind me, if I was relying on him, I'd follow him. If I told my wife by CB, walkie-talkie, whatever, well, I'm going to rely on my guide. And then the guide said, okay, this way to camp, follow me. And I said, oh, wait a minute, Joe. I feel like it would be better to go this way. And I took off that way. Oh, yeah, I rely on you, Joe, but I'm going to go this way. No, you rely on, place confidence, trust in the Lord Jesus, you're going to have to follow what He says. See, it's happened because of the low meaning in our language of the word believe. It hadn't always been that way, but it is now. And that's why Fred Price makes the differentiation in his teaching about the difference between believe and faith. Because in the English language, in current usage, there is a difference between faith and belief. Somebody will come along, oh yeah, I believe the food will keep me alive if I eat it and I won't starve to death. But if you had faith, well then you'd act on it and you'd eat the food, so forth. Well, he makes that differentiation, and rightly so. But in the New Testament language, in the Greek, there's no such differentiation between the word faith and belief. They both have the same meaning, except one's a noun and one's a verb. See, talking about the same thing. So that's why in this verse, different translations translate it. Everything is possible for one who believes. And then some translate it. Everything is possible for one who has faith. Because they're synonymous. It's just a matter of whether you're using the noun form or the verb form. Someday I'm going to take a course maybe and learn how to talk. Sure do me good. But let's don't get so caught up in the play upon the words here that we forget what Jesus said. He said, in essence, in fact, and there's no way to get around it, is there are no impossibilities for the believer. Now, I do not desire any rotten tomatoes to be thrown at me. I don't desire any frowns. I don't desire any of you to sit there and think, oh, I don't know what he's talking about. But I'm going to tell you that most likely 99% of you don't believe that. I'm just trying to point out to you the fact that all of us need some mind expansion in the right way when it comes to faith. We need to have our limits stretched. Because the world, circumstances, life has taught every one of us there are limits. You can't do this. You can't do that. If you pick up a chemistry textbook, they'll tell you, no, you can't do this. You can't do that. But if you would have picked up, let's use something you can understand. If you would have picked up a textbook from last century, they'd have said things like, you know, man can't fly, man can never go to the moon. A lot of impossibilities have become possible just because people refuse to accept the word impossible. Right? And it's the same way with us, even more so, because we know the Creator, we know Jesus, and if we need a helping hand, He's there to help us, right? Now, a lot of Christians think this is heresy when you get into these things. And you know why they think it's heresy? You know why they think it's so bad? Because the devil told them it was. I would like to inform you that the devil is against everything that has to do with Christians prospering. The devil is against everything that will make Christians realize that they can be successful. The devil is against everything that lets Christians know that he's defeated and that they, through the name of Jesus, have authority over him. He's against all of that. And he can't stop us, so what is he going to do? He is going to go around masquerading as an angel of light, trying to make Christians think, oh, that's evil. That's heresy. That's selfish. Don't listen to that teaching on prosperity. Don't believe God for a new dress. Be humble. Don't believe God for a promotion, for a raise in pay. Just be content with such things as you have. The devil used Scripture on Jesus, didn't he? Why, Scripture, be content with such things as you have, isn't it? But what if you don't have anything to eat? Does God mean that Scripture for you right in your present case? Yes and no. You just have to study it out. He's not saying put up with life no matter what. That isn't what it means. He's saying be happy and joyful and content in what is yours. Not just what you got in your hand, but what belongs to you in Christ Jesus. You can always be content with that. You can be in the middle of a famine in Africa and not have a plane, boat, train, or anything and be content even if you don't have anything. You know why? I mean anything in your hand. Because the God that rained down manna from heaven is your God and He's your source. He's in blood covenant with you. And if He was to fail to satisfy your need, He'd become a liar. So you can be content, but that doesn't mean, well, just put up with it no matter what happens. Well, they're having a great time in the other deal. All those that would like to join them, man. You know, God, I don't see God as forcing people. I don't want to just bully you to have to listen to me either. He said, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's what Jesus said. And so the devil tries to deceive us and tries to question our motives and tries to tell us everything that's good in God's will, he tries to get us to be against it. Anything that has any power to it, boy, the devil has got all kinds of Christian books out on the subject against it, like speaking in tongues. I'm glad for John. He got that one. A lot of you didn't. Yeah, the devil has inspired, and I don't mean word for word. I mean the thought had to come from him because it's against the written word of God. And I'm not a meanie. I'm just telling you the truth. The devil has given the inspiration for a lot of Christian books. If you read a book just because it's printed by a Christian publisher and it tells you God won't do it, miracles passed away and everybody's going to have to just die sick and God won't supply any money, he's chintzy and stuff like that, that didn't come from God. The devil has inspired a lot of Christian books and Christian tapes and Christian traditions. When I say Christian, I mean in quotes, of course, not truly Christ-like, but I mean in the tradition of Christianity that we've allowed to grow up. He'll try to do anything he can, which is very little, but it's all in the realm of bad ideas. He'll try to tell you, don't go to that church because you don't like the way that pastor looks. You don't like the way he talks. You don't like where they meet. Don't go there. Anything to keep you from hearing and continuing in the truth that will make you free. I'll tell you, there's a lot of books out against speaking in other tongues. I went to church, wasn't too long ago. They call people like us, just that believed in speaking in other tongues, call us a sect. Non-Christian, in other words. A cult. There's a lot of people think that's of the devil. Well, it's very easy for me to understand why the devil's against that, because that is powerful. I mean powerful. If you don't know what to do, how to praise a believer, man, you can unleash all the wisdom of heaven and all the forces of God praying in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit can help you pray accurately and bless God, get that thing moved on out of the way. Well, it's the same way with prosperity. It's the same way with healing. It's the same way with the authority of the believer. The devil has got books out against those subjects. And not only that, but the devil has commissioned a lot of little imps to go around and set on your car seat or wherever and whisper little thoughts into your mind. Oh, better watch your motives now. Better watch your motives now. You don't need to have a better job. Be content with the job you got. You don't need more money. Just be content with what you got. You've been listening to those prosperity tapes so much, you're beginning to get greedy and selfish. You better watch it. Now, understand me. God would say that message to some people too, in the right way, at the right time. But it's going to come different than the way the devil brings it. When it comes in, it's not going to bring condemnation and fear and drawing back. You just got to learn to know the difference between God and the devil and the way they speak. I'll tell you one thing to bear in mind. The devil talks a lot more than God. It doesn't take God a whole lot of words to convince you. Man, he can say one second sentence and you understand the whole thing and you've already repented. And oh man, God can get more across to you in three or four words than takes the devil, you know, two or three days to... God has to talk a whole lot less than the devil because God has the truth on his side. When he says it, man, it booms through and knocks right into the center of your heart. Boy, you know it's the truth. But the devil, he just nagged on you. Shut up, devil. That's what you should say to him. And I didn't mean to point to you, Mrs. I just got carried away there. I didn't mean that. That's what you should say to him, really. All things are possible to him that believeth. That's what you should say to the devil. I'm a believer. How many believers do we have today? You know, that means you're a faith person. If you're a believer, you're a faith person. I wish people knew the fact that believe and faith in the Greek were the same words. Then they probably wouldn't go around saying, oh, these faith preachers. Because they know it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That I shalt believe with thine heart and confess with thine mouth. They know that. And they wouldn't maybe do that. Faith and belief. Same word, different forms. Well, like I said before, and I quickly got off of it just to make sure that if you were going to throw any rotten tomatoes, we would pass quickly by. But most of us don't really believe that. Most of us don't really believe that. Now we will to believe it. We believe it in the sense that, yes, Jesus said it, and I know He doesn't lie, so I believe it. I'm sure you're all there. But if I was to get specific, if I was to say, is it possible for you to become a millionaire before you leave this planet? If you're young, you may say, yeah, that's possible. But the longer you've lived and the further away you are from that million mark, the harder it is for you to believe, isn't it? I know I'm getting older too. A lot easier to believe when you're 10 years old. Yeah, it's possible to be a millionaire. Then after you've got out there and you've done your best for 10, 20, 30, 40 years and you're nearing what the world calls retirement age, it's a lot harder to believe it then, isn't it? Those dreams, they don't always get popped like balloons, but what really usually happens, it's more like the balloon just sort of seeps out, you know? Isn't that right? Now that's what I mean. Most of us don't believe it. But it's still true. I don't care if you're 80 years old in a mental institution. Man, it is possible or Jesus lied. Now, I didn't say it was going to happen if you just sit down and drink your beer, soda pop, or whatever you like and watch the TV. I didn't say, and Jesus didn't say it's just going to happen. He said it's possible. Now, if it's possible to do good, it'd be wrong for us not to do it, wouldn't it? Now, I'm not trying to put you in bondage here and think, well, you need to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and lift weights and meditate on Scripture and run 20 miles a day. And, man, you need to take a speed reading course and do all that before you eat breakfast at, about 6. And then you need to have 2 jobs. And then I'm not trying to get you in such bondage to where you're just like that. But I am telling you that Jesus said, if you can believe, then the things are going to line up. If you can, the things can. If you'll believe, then it's possible. Luke 17:6, Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, but that's not the important part. If you had faith, you might say. And that's the next point, is that believe is a verb. And verbs mean action. Jesus didn't say, he who sits around, all things are possible to him. He said, he who believes. Now, there's a fine line here. There's a balance. It's not a matter of getting up at 3 o'clock every morning and working till 12 every night and just work, activity. That's not it. It's the one that believes. But on the other hand, you can't say, I believe, and just sit around saying you believe and expect it to happen either. Believe is a verb. There's a fine line here. You got to have the Holy Spirit to guide you and seek the proper balance. Because, yes, it's God's will for man to work, but it's not God's will for us just to have to struggle and strain and connive and get it just by natural means. We use natural means, but we use our faith on that, and it raises it up above just the natural. If you have faith, if you believe, action. Action. There's an action. The main action, the first action, is words. You might say. You might say. Jesus said, Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Say unto this mountain. Say unto this problem. Did you know that Jesus taught us by word and by example that we are to talk to things? We're talking about things this morning. All things are possible. If you believe. If you can, the things can. You control the things. You reign in life. God gives us richly all things. But how are we going to control the things? How are we going to bring the things to us for our use? Speak to it by words. Jesus talked directly to Satan and told him, in effect, get lost. Jesus talked to trees, told them to do what he wanted them to do. He talked to the wind. He talked to the waves. He talked to demons. Jesus even talked to dead men. Jesus talked to things and spoke to them what he expected of them, and it happened. Now, if we're going to reign as kings in life, that doesn't mean dominating our wife. That doesn't mean kicking around her baby brother, baby sister. That means controlling the things that make for circumstances in your life. And the way you're going to control it is by faith, by believing, and that's a verb, and that means you're going to have to use words and talk to them. Talk to the sickness and tell it to get. Talk to the money and tell it to come. Talk to it. You got a problem in your life? Talk to it. You say, well, that's heresy. That sounds strange. Yeah, that's exactly what the devil wants you to believe. Believe the Word of God. That's what will work. Nothing else will work. What I say, unless it's the Word of God, won't work. What anybody else says, unless it's God's Word, won't work. But if it's God's Word, it'll work. And it'll work for you just as well as it will for me or anybody else. Say, all things are possible with me.
All things are possible with me.
I'm a believer.